Okay, how are you guys doing? Good. Okay, it's Women's Ministry Month. I know Pastor JP is not a woman and he was leading praise. But I am a woman and I am preaching tonight. So I'm very honored to be a women minister in this house. I was just kind of thinking about because it is Women's Ministry Month, right? And this question just kind of came to me. Why were women created? Why did God create women? Okay, I want you to just turn to your neighbor and say, why do you think women were created? And you can give an answer. Tom knows. Oh. Anybody have a good answer? This has nothing to do with my sermon in some ways. Huh? Okay, I'll give you multiple choice. Don't you guys like multiple choice? You can guess and usually you can get it right. Okay, so A, for the purpose of populating the earth. Okay. B, because men are not smart enough and they need a help. C, for relationship and intimacy. And D, to make the world a beautiful place. The correct answer is relationship and intimacy, yes. Okay, so I was kind of thinking about intimacy, and I wanted to preach about intimacy. And I really felt like, you know, when you look at the creation account, and even when you look specifically at how God created women, you can see that to God, intimacy is very important. It's key. Okay, so if you go back to the creation account, what happens is, you know, there's God the Father, God the Son, and then the Holy Spirit, and they together create the earth. Okay, it's not just God one, you know, God the Father, but together, the triune God, the Trinity God, they create the earth, okay? And so they're doing this, like, creative work, and to me, like, when I imagine it, I feel like it must have been a very joyful time. You know, when you do something that's creative, it's exciting, isn't it? It's exciting, you know, you get this sense of energy, it's joyful. I don't think it was this sense of like, oh, gotta create this sloth, you know, or goodness, man, there's so many fish to create, you know. It wasn't this drudgery, but there was an overflow of joy that came from their perfect union and perfect fellowship. And so, you know, God creates, and every time he creates, he's like, yeah, it's good. Yeah, those fish, it's good. Animals, good. The plants, it's good. And then he comes to man and he creates man. He's like, it's good. You're good. And then all of a sudden in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, after man has already been created, God looks at man and he's like, you know, it's not good. It is not good that the man should be alone. Men, can you say amen to that? It is not good that man should be alone. I mean, imagine this though. Adam has been just created, okay? And Eden is this perfect place. Can you imagine how beautiful Eden is as a place? You know, there's no air pollution there. It's just perfection. And Adam is set in this place of perfection. And not only that, but he's given a purpose. God's like, hey, what you're going to do is you're going to keep and tend this garden. So God gives him some kind of purpose and work. And he's like, Adam, what you have now is authority and stewardship over the creation. You're the one that's going to name all the animals. That must have been hard work. It's a lot, right? But Adam is given this place of dominion. He's been given this place of authority. And yet God looks at him and he says, it is not good that man should be alone. And not only, I mean, think about it though. It's not just Adam's position, but he's also in perfect communion with God himself. And yet God says, something is missing here. Something is missing. And then he puts Adam to sleep and he makes a woman. We were the missing piece, okay? But what I'm trying to get at here is that God values relationship. Even when you are successful or rich or you have everything, you know, that you want, if you don't have relationships, something is lacking. Okay, so I know we've been talking a lot about intimacy and relationship, you know, with God and with one another. I know Pastor JM preached about being saved for relationship. Pastor Sky preached about intimacy, knowing the intimacy of God, and from that flowing in the prophetic. And Pastor JP, last Friday Fire, he preached on, anybody remember? Established intimacy through the Word of God, through taking in the Scriptures, right? But I feel like God was not done with this topic. Okay, so I want to talk tonight about intimacy and relationship and how God prioritizes relationship with you. And He is not just concerned about having a relationship, but He is concerned about having a intimate relationship with you. Okay, so tonight I want to specifically kind of focus on intimacy with the triune God. Everyone say triune God. Okay, triune God, or in other words, Trinity, is God eternally existing in three persons. God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit. I remember Pastor JM, he preached about this, and he was talking about how you can kind of compare it to a person having different roles. You're one person, but you have multiple roles. So, you know, for me, it's like I could be your friend, I could be a pastor to you, or I could be a wife to one person only, James, who's not here. Hello, my love, if you are listening. Okay? But intimacy with me in one role will look different from intimacy with me in another role. Knowing me as a friend will look different from knowing me as a wife. And what we have to understand is even with the triune God, intimacy with the Father does not look the same as intimacy with the Son. Intimacy with the Son doesn't necessarily look the same as intimacy with the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that they are three different gods. Okay, please, you know, understand. They are one, yet they are three different persons at the same time. It's a mystery. Don't ask me how this happens. I don't know. Okay, but I believe that intimacy with God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit can look different in our lives. So I kind of want to do like a, not an experiment, but what I want to ask you guys to do is actually close your eyes. Okay, because I believe that we can actually experience more intimacy with one person in the Trinity compared to the other. Some of us, we feel so intimate with the Father, but we're not so intimate with the Son. Okay, so I kind of want to see, you know, or I kind of want you to kind of experience this. Hopefully this works. Okay, but I would just want you to close your eyes. Imagine you're in front of a room. Okay, and the door opens. Okay, and you look inside, and God the Father is there. And you can walk in. You walk into the door. And I just want you to just play that scene out in your mind. How do you respond to Him? What do you do? What are you guys talking about? Okay, now I want you to imagine another door in front of you. And the door opens, and it's Jesus. Do you run to Him? Do you sit down next to Him? Do you stay afar? Okay, and then lastly, there's the last door, and you open, and it's the Holy Spirit. You see the Holy Spirit. How do you feel? How do you feel? What's the first thought that comes to your mind? Are you happy? Do you feel distant? Okay, you guys can open your eyes. So what I kind of wanted you to experience was how intimacy with one person in the Trinity does not always correspond to another person in the Trinity. So how you feel towards the Father is not necessarily how you feel towards Jesus. And how you feel towards Jesus is not necessarily how you feel towards the Holy Spirit. And so my question to you tonight is, how intimate are you with the Father? How intimate are you with the Son? And how intimate are you with the Holy Spirit? Did you guys notice the difference? I'm just curious. Okay, so I want us to turn to the verse for tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 12 through 14. This will be a familiar verse for all of us, or the last one at least. 2 Corinthians 13, 12 through 14. Okay, I'm just going to read it. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone say grace. And the love of God. Everyone say love. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Everyone say fellowship. Be with you all. This is a benediction, right? Pastor JP was talking about how sometimes he's like worried because he might get those grace, love, and fellowship mixed up between the triune God. Okay? But I'm not going to start with, you know, greet one another with a holy kiss. Don't do that. Actually, I had a friend in college who, she went to a church, and at the church, the pastor was like, all right, everyone, greet one another with a holy kiss. And she literally turned to the guy next to her and she kissed him. And later on, she was like, yeah, I didn't know. I was like, are you serious? Okay, but we're not going to do that here, okay? No kissing here. Okay, but I want us to focus on verse 14, right? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Okay, so what I want to start with intimacy is intimacy with God the Father. You know, I believe that intimacy with God the Father, it starts with knowing His love. Okay, the main characteristic, the very essence of intimacy with God the Father is knowing His love. 1 John 4:18, it says, anyone who does not love does not know God because God is love. Okay, God defines Himself, the very definition of God is love. And so if we want to know the Father, and if we want to grow in intimacy with the Father, we need to grow in our understanding of His love. Okay, we need to learn how to receive His love. 1 John 3:1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. And you know, knowing the Father's love, it's being able to receive the greatest love that He has ever shown us. Do you guys know that you've already received the greatest gift from the Father in the person of Jesus Christ? You know, a lot of times we feel loved by Jesus. Why? Because He went to the cross. He like died for us. I mean, come on, right? That's like a lot of love there. But you know, when I talk to parents, one thing that I realized was this, that these parents, they would rather go to the cross than to send their own child to the cross. They would rather die than to see their child die. You guys agree with that? You know, I don't have children yet, And I know none of us here do, and we can't really understand that parent's heart. But even if we just imagine having a child, like, I would rather go and die than to send my own son or my own daughter to the cross. And so the extent of love that Jesus had for us, yes, it's great, it's amazing, but I believe that the Father's love in sending His Son, His only Son, His only begotten Son, precious to Him, even before we were ever His sons and daughters, before we even knew Him, He sends His only Son to die on the cross for us. You know, that's the extent of the Father's love, that He would send His most precious one to die, and that He would pour out His wrath on Jesus, the one that He loves. And this is why in Romans 8:32 it says, "He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things?" He's saying, if I gave you Jesus, I mean, will I really hold back? I gave you everything. In Jesus, He gave us His all. And He's saying, will I really hold back from you? And so in knowing God the Father, we must grasp and we must learn how to receive the full extent of God's love that was shown upon the cross through Jesus. And in knowing His love and being intimate with the Father, we also grow in our identity. You know, we come to know ourselves as sons and as daughters. And we learn to walk in His love. You know, it says in the verse that I read that anyone who does not love does not know God. You see, one way that you know that someone is intimate with God, the Father, is in the way that they love. The measure by which you love others is the measure of your intimacy with God. If you don't love others, what does it show? Does it show that, you know, you're a horrible person? Not necessarily. It shows that you don't know God. And I want us to really understand that intimacy with God, it starts with knowing His all-consuming love, His relentless love. It's a jealous love that tears down every wall. It's a love that will not stop short. And, you know, for me personally, I had to understand His love not only in my mind, but it had to go down to my heart, that knowledge. I remember clearly there was, I think it was my first retreat, where I suddenly came to this revelation that, oh my goodness, I know here that God loves me, but I don't know here. And that I felt this like disconnect between my mind and my heart. Because I've heard like God loves you, God loves you. You know, you hear it, if you grew up Christian, come on, like you went to Sunday school, they tell you all the time, God loves you, God loves you. You read in the Bible, God loves you. And so you know it here, but some of us, our mental understanding, our knowledge up here does not connect with what we actually believe right down here. And so I had to come to terms with that. Oh my goodness, I don't know God's love. I know it to a certain extent, but I don't know it experientially. I don't know it tangibly. And so it was a long process after that, of learning how to be loved by the Father, especially because I had an earthly father who didn't really show true love or show a love that was life-giving. And so it was a process of unlearning a lot of misunderstandings, a lot of different things that I had to unlearn and then I had to relearn through God the Father. And so I just want to say, you know, sometimes intimacy, a lot of times, in fact, all the time, it's a process. It doesn't just happen in a day, but it happens over time. It happens as you experience God, as God comes through for you, as you come to the Lord, as you just are vulnerable before Him. And intimacy that God wants with you, it's not just a mental knowledge intimacy, like God loves me, I know. No, He wants you to know Him, and in a way where in the Hebrew word know is yada. Is that how you say it? Yada. Okay, this is an intimate knowing. It's It's the word that was used when the Bible talks about how Adam knew his wife. Adam knew his wife and conceived Cain. It's an intimacy that speaks of this incredible just closeness as a husband would know his wife. And that's the kind of love, that's the kind of intimacy that the Father desires with you. And that's the kind of intimacy that he's inviting you into. You know, if you don't have that right now, I don't want you to feel like, oh no, what's wrong with me? But just know that God wants that, and he will pursue you, and he will continue to love you to that point where you and him are united in just this intense closeness. Okay, I want us to go to intimacy with Jesus. Okay, so it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I believe intimacy with Jesus, it centers in grace. John 1:17, it says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ came in the form of man, through him, grace came to us. And I know Pastor Hannah talked about grace earlier. And you know, grace is a word that I've also kind of thought a lot about. Because like Pastor Hannah said, we say it so much. I think we pray grace in every single prayer. Grace over the students. Grace over Pastor Jaya. Grace and grace and grace. Okay? But what really is grace? Grace, it can also be translated as favor, as blessing, as kindness. Okay? And we can think of grace in the context of salvation. Through grace, we've been saved. It's not by works, but it's through grace, by faith, that we've been saved. But I think salvation is just the beginning of grace. And one thing that Pastor Benjamin preached on that really shook me, I remember it was this huge revelation, this light bulb that just went on in my head, was he said, the cross, there's two halves to it. There's mercy and there's grace. Okay? Mercy is when God doesn't give to us what we deserve, which is death and condemnation eternally. But grace is when he gives us what we don't deserve. But I realized at that very moment that I've been living under mercy but not grace. I was like, oh my goodness, yes, salvation is so good. Yes, my debt has been canceled. Yes, I'm no longer condemned to eternity in hell. And I was like, yes, that's so good. But I didn't realize how much grace, how much favor, how much blessing there was that came through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in Ephesians 2:5, by grace you have been saved, and it's by grace that you've been raised with him and seated with him in the heavenly places. You see, grace doesn't just save you, it seats you with Christ. Okay? And so I want us to have a bigger picture of what grace is. Because think about it like this. This is an analogy that helped me. Think about it as you owe someone like $100,000, something crazy amount of money. Mercy will bring you to a zero. It'll cancel your debt. You'll be at zero. And sometimes that's all we expect from God. All right, God, yes, yes, I had this immense debt towards you, but you've canceled it and I'm at zero. But God's like, no, that's not all you received. I didn't just bring you to a zero, but I filled up your bank account with so much more, with the eternity of blessings. And so when we start to understand the grace that came through Jesus Christ, we start to be able to live with power, to live in the power of Jesus Christ. And we start to understand that we truly have no lack, but that we have been given every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. You know, grace is about abundance. It's not about just survival. It's not about just, oh, let me just get through this finals, these finals. But it's about victory. It's about living in a place of victory. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. You know, one thing that grace does is it humbles us. You know, if you're struggling with pride, I don't think the answer is receive less. I think the answer is receive so much that you feel so overwhelmed by God's goodness. And you just cannot help but praise Him and cannot help but be humbled by Him. And so when we look at Jesus and we walk in intimacy with Jesus, we learn to walk in grace and in favor and in blessing. And we also learn to walk in humility. We learn to walk in sonship. Do you want to know how to, you know, be a good son? You look at Jesus. He's the perfect son. He is one who did not boast in his righteousness, but Jesus himself humbled himself even to the point of death. Now, how much more should we walk in humility? You know, when we are in intimacy with the Father, I think one of the biggest things that we need to guard our hearts with the Father, because the Father, we relate to Him in His love, is fear. Because fear casts out love, right? Love casts out fear. But what that means is that love and fear cannot coexist. And so where there is fear, there is no love. And so a lot of times I think people who struggle with understanding the Father's heart, there's a lot of fear. Fear of being vulnerable, fear of being rejected, fear of being punished. And so what God starts to do when you are learning to be intimate with the Father is He starts to remove those fears with His perfect love. And those barriers start to come down. But with intimacy with Jesus, I think one of the biggest things we need to guard our hearts against is the pride of our flesh, is striving. Because Jesus, He was the perfect Son. There was nothing that He lacked. And yet, if you look at His life, He exemplified the greatest humility. And I think His humility is not just shown in like, oh, He washed the disciples' feet. But I think His humility is shown in His vulnerability. And this is something that I kind of wanted to just throw out there, because I think with intimacy, you have to consider that intimacy cannot come without vulnerability. And Jesus, though He was God in the flesh, yet He was vulnerable. And how do you see this? You see this at the Garden of Gethsemane. You see Jesus, you know, if it was like us, I think we would be like, I got this. Woo! Cross, yeah, come on, bring it on, right? Like sometimes we do that to God, don't we? We're like, God, don't worry, I got it. I'm okay, I'm fine, yeah, come on, yeah. Yeah, no, anxiety, what? No, I'm fine. And we feel like we need to come to God like that. But can I just say, that's not righteousness. That's just, first of all, it's being inauthentic. It's being invulnerable. It's being prideful. What God desires is what Jesus did. What did He do? He came to the Father and He said, Father, if You are willing, could You let this cup pass from Me? Jesus was not excited to go to the cross, guys. He wasn't like, I love You guys so much. Like, yes, I'm going to go. He was like, come on. Like, and he went to His disciples. He's like, can you just pray with Me? Could you just stay up with Me? He was vulnerable before His own disciples. He was vulnerable before the Father. Like, Father, if You are willing, could You let this cup pass from Me? And I think that's the intimacy that God is looking for. Where hearts are not just like, oh yeah, I'm okay, I'm fine. Oh yeah, don't worry, God. Don't worry. I'm good. I mean, if you think about it, it's really funny. Like, from God's perspective, it's like He knows everything that's going inside of you. And He's not going to be like, oh, really? Yeah, okay. Yeah. He'll be like, who are you trying to fool here? And I think that's one key to intimacy with Jesus, intimacy with the Father, is to come before Him with absolute honesty. As you are. It doesn't mean to stay in a place of anxiety and like stay in the pit. But the Father wants to know how you're feeling. The Father wants to know how you are actually doing. And we see that in the life of Jesus. And the more we learn to be vulnerable, to be humble before the Father, I believe the more we will also understand Jesus' heart. Okay, vulnerability. Okay, next. I need to keep going. Okay, intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Okay, it comes through, what's the key word, everyone? Fellowship. Yes. Okay, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Okay, this is where I want to land tonight. This is something that God started to convict me of starting this year. Because you guys know I've been in New Philly for a very long time. And as you guys know, New Philly is a church that welcomes the presence of the Holy Spirit. In fact, there was a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit years back. And I still remember there was just so much, like Holy Spirit fire and Holy Spirit water and Holy Spirit wind, you know, Holy Spirit everywhere. And people were just so like on fire and just completely just immersed in the Holy Spirit. And so that's kind of where I started in my faith. I actually had reservations towards the move of the Holy Spirit in the beginning. I even thought of leaving New Philly in the very beginning because I looked online and then people are like, this is a cult. Don't believe in the movement of the Holy Spirit. And I was like, oh my goodness, what do I do? But I ended up staying, and then I ended up getting encountered by the Holy Spirit. And so, I mean, after that, it was kind of game over, right? And so I ended up staying, obviously. And since then, you know, I've seen the Holy Spirit move. I've been the one who, you know, prophesies over people and, like, prays. And then I'll be like, in my mind, I'm like, come on, Holy Spirit, hurry up. Give me something good. Give me something good, right? If you've ever prophesied over someone, you know what I'm saying. Come on, Holy Spirit, why aren't you saying anything? Hurry up. But, you know, I believe God wants to do something different in New Philly, and also in my heart, it came as like a heart check, where I felt like the Holy Spirit was asking me, do you really know me? Do you know me? You know me? I mean, and it came as this like sudden awakening. Because I've seen the power of the Spirit. I've experienced the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. I've fallen under the power of the Spirit. I've moved in the gifts of the Spirit. I've given prophetic words. I can speak in tongues. I've seen healings and miracles happen. And yet I wonder if in the midst of that, if we have ever come to the Holy Spirit for just who He is. And not for His power, not for His giftings, but just for the person of the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of scary because in Matthew 7:22-23, it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. It's scary. Why? Because you can prophesy by the Holy Spirit, and you can cast out demons by the Holy Spirit, yet you can never know the Holy Spirit. And so my question to you tonight is, do you know the Holy Spirit? Do you really know Him? Are you intimate with Him? Not just know His power, but do you know His thoughts? Do you know how He feels towards you? Do you know what grieves Him? Do you know what saddens Him? Do you know what pleases Him? How well do you know the Holy Spirit? You know, there's a famous evangelist, Catherine Coleman. She is from the past. She's passed away. But one thing that she said is, there are literally thousands and thousands in the great charismatic movement who have never become acquainted with the person of the Holy Spirit, only with His gifts. And I see this kind of as being like a fangirl. You know, when you're a fan, you know, I used to like this guy named Yoo Sung-jun. Anybody know Yoo Sung-jun? Anybody from that age? Only GOT shows the age difference gap. There's this guy named Yoo Sung-jun, you know? Yeah. Don't act like you're young, Mia. We're the same age. Okay, but I remember like, oh my God, I used to like him a lot because his dancing was like on point. I mean, I wasn't like a diehard fan or anything like that, but you know, I used to really like him, and he's kind of short, so I used to think like, oh man, I can't grow too much. What if like I, you know, end up marrying him or something, right? can't be taller than him. So, but yeah, anyways, I used to like him and just really, you know, wow, his dancing is so motionful. And that's what fans do, right? They admire the giftings, they admire the talents, the looks from afar. And you know their songs, you know, like you listen to their songs when you're sad and it makes you feel happy. And you feel like there's this like, woo, relationship. We have, yeah, me and Yusung Jin, we're like tight. But that's not true. You know, that's just a misunderstanding on my part because he doesn't know me. And I think sometimes this happens with the Holy Spirit. We look at it as like, we look at him come as a fire and we're like, woo, yeah, so awesome, Holy Spirit. You do that. You knock that guy out. You slay him in the, you heal him and you do all these things. But it doesn't mean that you have an intimate, it doesn't mean that you have this living and dynamic relationship with him. Just because you know how to move in his power doesn't necessarily mean that you know him. Because when you pray, even if you don't know him, Holy Spirit loves you so much and he loves the person that you're praying for so much, he's just going to come. And so we need to learn how to commune with him. We need to learn how to walk with him, not just access his power and his anointing. I think another thing with the Holy Spirit, another kind of a pitfall with the Holy Spirit is we feel like he's not as important as God the Father or Jesus. Some of us, we don't really even know, like, why do we even need the Holy Spirit? What's the role of the Holy Spirit? And we feel like he's just kind of like a 2+1 deal. You know, when you go to Home Plus, you see, like, you know, I buy those cereals and it comes with, like, the Tupperware attached to it, taped to it. I'm like, yes, I got something free. But the main thing is the cereal. And sometimes we feel like Holy Spirit is just the Tupperware. He just comes with the deal. But can I just say, you know, in John 16:7, this is Jesus speaking. He says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So what is Jesus saying? He's saying, it's better that I leave, so I can send the Holy Spirit to you. And the Helper here is the Holy Spirit. And this word is parakletos. Parakletos is also translated as comforter or counselor. And it literally means one who is called to the side of another. So the Holy Spirit, Jesus asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit to you on your behalf. And so the Holy Spirit has been called to your side. That means he is right next to you. He is right there. And Jesus is saying, it's far better that he's there than I be there with you. Because Jesus is limited in the sense that he is in the earthly body and he cannot be with all of us and disciple all of us for eternity. But the Holy Spirit can be with each and every one of us throughout eternity. And so he's saying it's far better that the Spirit is with you than I am with you. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, because he is near you, he's right next to you, we can fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And you know, we understand the word fellowship, we understand what it means to be intimate, where we learn to listen, where we learn to dialogue, where we learn to walk with him, where we learn how to hear from him, where we learn how to understand his feelings and his emotions. You know, this is fellowship and intimacy, but I just wanted to end with an aspect of fellowship or koinonia in Greek that I don't think we usually think about. And this kind of rocked me. And this is and koinonia, fellowship, can also mean partnership. Okay? Partnership. Holy Spirit, he doesn't just want to be next to you and just be there and be ignored, but he wants to partner with you, okay? And partnership here is kind of like partnership in a business. It's talking about a business partnership. And so one dynamic of your relationship with the Holy Spirit is that of a business partnership, where you, it's like in the business world, you form partnerships to pool resources together. And through that partnership, you can enhance growth and enhance productivity. It's by mutual consent by both parties, and you're working towards the same goal and the same vision. There's no partnership where it's only just one side that brings all the resources. And the same way with partnership with the Holy Spirit, it's about an active participation on our part, where we also must bring what we have to the table, what God has given to us to steward. You know, it's not just about waiting on the Spirit and being like knocked out by the Spirit and experiencing the fire and the burning of the Spirit, but it's learning to partner with the Spirit. Because I believe that in this next season, we're going to go and we're going to move forward. It's not just going to be about us here in these four walls, but it's going to be about us moving beyond these walls and going into society. But you cannot do that without the partnership of the Holy Spirit. You need Him as your partner. You need to form strategies with Him, not apart from Him. You need to execute His will upon this earth. He doesn't just want you to work for Him, but He wants you to work with Him, together with Him. You know, God has amazing plans for your future. God has amazing plans for this church. But what we need to learn to do is to know Him as a person, not just to know His power and to know how He feels, like, woo! Not just to be in this hype, but to learn how to partner with Him, to learn to hear from Him, and to move in faith based on what He speaks to us. You know, there's, Catherine Coleman, the same woman that I mentioned before, what's amazing is there's these testimonies about her where, you know, she carried so much of the presence of God, of the Holy Spirit, that when she stepped out of her hotel room, she would walk by and people would just fall under the power of God. And there's another man, Charles Finney, he's a famous evangelist, I believe, and he carries such a powerful presence of God that one day he walked into this factory and he didn't say anything, but everyone just instantly got saved. And you know, it's like when you are intimate with someone, everyone knows that. Like, everyone knows that me and James were like close. Okay? It's no like secret when you're intimate with someone. And the same way, when you grow in your intimacy with the Holy Spirit, everyone will know it. It will be so tangible. It will be so recognizable. And this is the kind of the challenge that I wanted to leave us with tonight. Is, I don't know what your experience is with the Holy Spirit, but I believe that He wants us to draw near to Him and to acknowledge Him, first of all. Holy Spirit, You are God. You're not just a 2+1 deal, but You are God. You're God amongst us, and we love You, and we value You, and we want to know You. We don't just want to encounter Your power, but we want to know You. In our daily lives, when we go to school, when we are on the subway, so many times we spend like an hour in commute, but we don't ever talk to the Holy Spirit when He's right next to us. And so many times we pray, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. And He's like, I'm here. I already came a long time ago. It's more about knowing He who has already come next to your side and being able to commune with Him, being able to fellowship with Him. And once again, I don't want us to feel like, oh, I'm lacking. But I want us to understand that God's heart is burning. The Father's heart, the heart of Jesus, the heart of the Holy Spirit is burning to be in intimate relationship with You. And he will see it to the end. But are you willing? Are you willing to come to him with absolute and complete honesty? Where you say, I think it's far better. You know, I had to come to the Holy Spirit. I had to say, I don't know if I really know you, Holy Spirit, intimately. And I had to repent. And I think that's far better than to be like, oh, I know you. I know you. Mm. And so I want us to give us some time to respond. And whoever it is, whether it's God the Father, whether it's Jesus, the Son of God, or whether it's the Holy Spirit, I want you to have a time of being completely vulnerable and completely honest with him about your relationship with him. It's kind of a DTR, okay? It's a DTR. And especially for those of you who have encountered the Holy Spirit, specifically the Holy Spirit, over the years in New Philly, I want you to search your hearts as well. Do I really know him? Am I really intimate with him? Or have I just settled for his gifts and for his anointing? Okay, I'm not saying don't ever pursue his gifts. That's not the heart here. But I didn't want us to walk away from a sowing season of focusing on the prophetic without knowing the Holy Spirit. We can't just know his gifts and walk away with the tool set, but we have to know the person of the Holy Spirit. And so I just want to give you guys some time. Just spend some time with the Lord. Allow him to search your heart. And just like I did earlier, you know, imagine he's right in front of you. What would you say to him? Listen to him. What does he want to say to you?